Oh, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you all had a great week. Sorry for that rocky introduction. I wasn't paying attention. Anyway, today is going to be a really exciting show. We have Tom Dillon here. He did some traveling. He's going to talk about his travels, and he has some really good message to put out here for us. I figure we're coming up on the new year here. I think this might be the last episode of the year because holidays are coming up. It's going to be really crazy to get in the studio. So I really want to end the year out with a really good message for you guys, and I think you'll like what he has to say. Looking back on the week, I've been working like crazy, and yesterday was my first day off in 21 days, and it was good. I did some Cub Scout stuff, got some Christmas shopping done, got some presents wrapped, and my house is still full of glitter. I got glitter everywhere. It's crazy. It's like a parade went through the house. But I'm super excited to be able to tell you what this present is after Christmas. It's always exciting making things for people. But yeah, other than that, I didn't do much this week. How about you, Rick?
Just working away and having Christmas carols on the bus for kids to hum along to if they can hum.
But, I'm not a fan of Christmas music.
It's just going by so fast that you can't enjoy it. By the time you work and you don't feel like doing anything at night, and the weekends go by so fast that I don't know where the year went, to tell you the truth.
Right. I know this year flew by. So, yeah, let's bring Tom on. Are you over there?
I am here.
Awesome. So, yeah, how was your week?
It was pretty good. I finally got back to work. I started working at the bar that I used to work at many months ago before I started doing all this traveling nonsense. And had a family Christmas party yesterday, so that's always good fun. We do that every year.
Yeah, but, I like Christmas
thanks
parties.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, no problem. I've been seeing your posts from different parts of the country, and it's always cool. I like traveling and seeing stuff like that. It's been really nice to see all those great pictures.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do my best. I guess I consider myself a little bit of a amateur photographer, but I always try to include some sort of inspiring caption to go with it. You know, something to get you moving in the morning, I suppose.
Yeah. So what inspired you to go out and do all this adventuring?
Well, initially, first of all, I had just been working for a few years nonstop, and I don't know, I was going through some things. I was going through a pretty bad bout of depression, and I was kind of like isolating myself. I went through a really bad breakup. I kind of had a falling out with a lot of my close friends, and my life was just kind of headed nowhere, basically. And so I knew I needed to do something, and I had all this money, and I always wanted to travel. I'd never seen a lot of the country. It was always something that I wanted to do. So I just decided that I was going to spend the summer driving around, visiting all my friends around the country. And I wanted to start a blog to document my travels. But as I was working on it, it started to take shape as more of a platform for sharing my experiences about coming out of depression by working on myself and owning up to the responsibility I have to myself. So it really didn't end up being a travel blog as much as it is a blog about, you know, recognizing the responsibility that you have to yourself as an individual, and sharing my experiences about, you know, working on myself and strengthening myself from within, and how I was able to, you know, overcome a lot of these troubles that I was having. And so that's kind of the overarching theme that I really went with. And I figured that was something that really ties in well to, you know, libertarian principles and the whole libertarian philosophy. And so I thought that that was something great that we could kind of connect with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Personal responsibility is huge in the libertarian philosophy. Have you ever thought about maybe like starting like a book or something? I don't know if you like you're into writing or anything like that.
Well, I definitely love writing, and you know, I have I don't have that many posts up on the blog yet. I've kind of just been trying to you know, share my feelings and share my experiences, but I do love writing. I don't know if a book is really on my radar right now, but maybe someday, you know, that's something I could think about as I have more experiences to share with people, or once I formulate the message a little bit better. So right now I'm just kind of focused on the blog and, like, you know, building the blog and building the message and getting that right, and you know, trying to connect with more people.
Yeah, Tom, if I could just ask a question. I'm Rick. I produce the show, and sometimes I step in on Chan's feet. But, you know, sure. The reason that I would be interested in a book is to chronicle your feelings of why you wanted to do this and your depression and how you came out of that because of your experiences. That may help other people. And you could, I mean, there's so many self-publishing companies out there that outfits like Amazon and eBay will sell the book. And I think, you know, from what I hear already, just from your intro, I think it would make an interesting story and also a self-help book for people. So don't give that up. I mean, you'd have to expand more, and I'm sure you can, but I really think it would be a valuable piece of literature that people could use.
Oh, sure, certainly. And one of the biggest things that I've learned through doing all this, see before I ever started this blog, I was, you know, I was in a pretty bad state, and I was very much, you know, a victim, and all of my problems were, you know, somebody else's fault. It was always, well, he did this to me, and she did this, and she said that, and you know, I wasn't really owning up to what I was doing wrong, and you know, what was going wrong in my life because of me, you know. And once I really started to delve into like some serious introspection and, you know, working on myself from within, that's when everything started to change, and I started writing about my feelings and just trying to like share my experiences. And I found that through sharing what I've gone through, I've been able to connect with more people than I ever had before. And I can't even tell you how many messages I got over the summer on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And I continue to get of people just saying, you know, this is so inspiring. I mean, I love like watching videos, and I love reading about what you've been going through. And people really, really relate to this stuff. And I used to be kind of hesitant to tell people about like my depression and anxiety out of fear or stigma or whatever. But I found that the more that I share, the more I'm able to connect with people. And it's been incredibly gratifying to, you know, be sort of an inspiration to other people. So I definitely feel what you're saying.
Yeah, people definitely connect when you open up and get things out there. I know that I've felt the same way before. And then you like you said, that victim mentality kind of thing, you just get to a point where it's like, well, I'm not doing anything to change it. And it's very inspiring to people to show them that if you really put your mind to being more positive and finding things to help you get out of these situations, whether it be like mentally or physical situation, bad situations, you can really, it's like a mind over matter kind of thing. And it's just, it's always inspiring for people dealing with hard times to see other people and hear how they overcame it. Like I always say, I like the power of positive thinking. I know it's a little cliche, but I mean, things are cliche for a reason, because they work. It comes about, people keep saying that over and over. It really does help to shift your mindset.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, one of the things that, excuse me, I'm choking on my coffee a little bit over here.
My coffee has mad salt in it. I went to Starbucks and I wanted the salted cold foam cold brew, and she like dumped salt on it.
Salt in your coffee? Oh, that's new. So, yeah, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to touch on is that, you know, I'm trying to very much hone in on this message of, like bettering the world by bettering yourself. And, you know, I kind of went over that a few minutes ago, but, you know, I really, really, really think that the best way, you know, to go about changing the world is changing yourself. And, you know, I started this as a pursuit to like make my life better, but it ended up inspiring all of these other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not in like a selfish way. And I don't think that people should be, you know, afraid to pursue their own self-interest, you know, because other people will be inspired by your positive pursuit. And so I really, really just want to drill it down that, you know, You can't change the whole world if you're not willing to change yourself. And you can't go down, you know, you can't go and, you know, break down these like complex social and economic structures if you're not willing to take a look at yourself and see what's wrong with yourself first. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I find that a lot of people, you know, they're so mad at the world, just like I used to be. And they're so mad at, you know, everything that's going on. And they're trying to like be heroes and change everything, but they're not willing to look at what's wrong with them. And I really think that that's the biggest thing that needs to happen right now, is that people need to look at themselves. They need to work on themselves. They just need to focus on trying to be good and trying to be better. And, you know, that positivity will eventually radiate and it'll inspire the people around you. And if you make yourself better, the people around you will want to be better, and it'll just keep growing and growing. And eventually, you know, it'll work itself outwards. And so that's like something that I'm really, really, really trying to get across.
Yeah, it is very contagious in a good way. Definitely be just being the best version of yourself you can possibly be makes your closest friends want to be the best versions of themselves too. And, I know I have a good friend who is going through hard times, and anytime I'm around her and stuff, and she always comes to me for advice, everything. She's always like, you make me just want to be like the best person I can absolutely be and stuff. She's like, I get down sometimes, but then I talk to you and you always have this outlook that just inspires me, because I always like put myself in her situation and tell her what I would do. Mm. And so it's definitely contagious. I did have a thought in my head and I just lost it. It'll come back to me. So your brand is Find Yours, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're like branding everything with?
Yeah. I thought it was the, like, again, you know, it's about, you know, finding yourself, you know, finding yourself as an individual, finding what's right for you, and, you know, not in a selfish way. It's just about, you know, pursuing your own self-interest to try to, you know, make your life better, but not in like a, you know, I suppose we could tie this to, you know, some of the libertarian stuff about like, you know, government favors and whatnot, and like getting, mm-hmm. you know, getting ahead because you got some sort of like special interest or whatever. You know, it's not that. It's about, you know, making your life better by, you know, working on yourself and in your own goodwill.
Right.
And, you know, so Find Yours is really just about like, you know, making your life better, finding your place, finding, you know, and appreciating your individual sovereignty and like your own individual uniqueness. And, you know, it's just like Find Yours, you know, not maybe not like get yours, but just like find what's right for you. And like, don't be afraid to, you know, appreciate your individuality.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we can't, like you said, we can't be out trying to make the world a better place if we can't make ourselves a better person. It just is very contradictory. So I'm still trying to think of what I just had in my mind.
Well, let me ask him a question, okay. If I could. You know, on our radio show yesterday, my guest and I talked about, you know, the holiday time. And, you know, there's two parts to the holiday. One's religious and the other is, is, you know, the Santa Claus and the Christmas tree and that. But I don't know if you've ever seen the movie White Christmas. But in it, there's a song by Bing Crosby that says, you know, if you can't go to sleep, count your blessings instead of sheep. And I think if we as individuals can count our blessings and try to help other people, because there's always people that are less fortunate than we are. And at this time of the year, when you're walking down the street, you say hello to people and they say hello back. And because they're filled with this Christmas spirit that after January 1st, they're not filled with, and they won't say hello back to you anymore. And that's the world we live in today. And wouldn't it be nice to walk down the street, say hello to somebody that you don't know, and then have them smile and say hello back? That would make them feel so good. But for some reason, you only get that for 1 month of the year.
Yeah, and I think that speaks a lot to just, you know, the overall mindset that people are in nowadays. I think a lot of people are really unhappy. You know, maybe they're unhappy with themselves, but, you know, a lot of people are just, they're working hard. They can't get ahead. And, you know, it's hard to be nice to other people when you can't be nice to yourself. And so, unfortunately, I think a lot of people just, you know, maybe aren't miserable, but they just, I don't know, it's hard for people to really get in the right mindset in 2018. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So I was wondering, what is your favorite place that you've been to and why?
I knew this question was going to come up because, you know, so many people ask me that, and it's a really hard question to answer because first of all, this country is so, I mean, it's such a diverse landscape.
Definitely.
I mean, every corner of the country is different. And so I like a lot of different places for different reasons, you know. Maine and Vermont is completely, you know, up in the Northeast is totally different than Utah down in the Southwest. So it's really hard to compare. And, you know, I went, I don't know, 25 states. I don't even know how many cities. And there's a lot of different things to see. But I suppose if you were asking where I felt the most inspired or where I had the most fun,
definitely,
or where I, you know, what place kind of, you know, hit me the most, that would probably be either New Orleans or Utah. And I think New Orleans because I stayed at a hostel in New Orleans. First of all, I don't know if you've ever been in New Orleans. Have you, either of you ever been to?
No, I want to though, because I just watched a Top Chef episode in New Orleans and it looked pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the food there is phenomenal. But New Orleans is just a really, really awesome city. It's, you know, it's very lively, filled with music. The food is great. And, you know, the people there are just wonderful. Everybody's so nice and, like, I don't know, like homey and accepting and loving, and it's just a great environment. But I stayed at a hostel there for about 4 days, and I met people from all around the world, you know, Australia, the UK, Ireland, Scotland, Asia, you know, I mean, people from all walks of life. And after a day and a half of hanging out with these people, I felt like I'd known them for 10 years. I mean, we were just instantly like a family, and it was so amazing. And so now I made all of these wonderful connections with people from all across the globe, and we all shared and experiences, talked about, you know, they were all like me, just traveling. And, you know, we just talked about what we had going on, talked about what life was like for them in their home countries. And it was just, I don't know, it was just 4 days of like incredibly eye-opening conversations, and it was really informative. And so that was really great for me. But the city itself is just, it's so much fun. If you ever had a chance to go there, I would strongly encourage it.
You know, I'm interested in that. Did you feel of all the cities that you visited that New Orleans was more like a country, a different country in itself, because how different it is than other cities in America?
It's definitely really unique. I would say, for as different as every part of this country is, it's not that different, because everybody speaks the same language and everybody's more or less kind of the same. But I do feel like New Orleans is its own little pocket. And I don't know, there's just something in the air there. And I think it's probably because of everything that city has been through. The people and the city itself have just kind of built this resilience. And I mean, you can just feel it. You really can. Everybody there is just like so nice and thankful, and it's really something else. And so that's probably why I use that as my example, because something about that place just felt so much different than the rest.
Did you have like a view, a specific view from somewhere or something that was like very like inspiring, or like your most breathtaking view?
Yeah, so I mentioned Utah, and I think when most people think Utah, they think, I don't know, Salt Lake City, like Mormonism or something. But Utah is probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. There's three national parks in Utah. There's Zion National Park, Arches in Moab, and then there's Bryce Canyon. I only went to Zion and Arches, but I'm kind of afraid of heights. I have a really big thing against heights. So it took a lot for me to do this, but I took a big hike up to what's called the I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's like the main attraction, the Grand Arch or the Miracle Arch or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you walk up this trail and you're up pretty high, but you don't really feel it until you just come out. You come out to this one part and the whole desert just opens up and you can see the Grand Arch, and it's just like, I mean, you can see for miles and miles and miles and miles. And, I took a step out and there's kind of this rock that's in your way, but once you pass it, everything just opens right up. And it was just like, whoa, like I'd never seen anything like that in my whole life. And I had to take a few minutes when I was up there, and I was by myself too. So mm-hmm. I'm just standing up there, just in total appreciation. And that was at the end of my summer. So I was just like soaking it all in. And I was just like, wow, like this is life. I just felt so alive, and it was incredible. So Utah is a beautiful state. Don't ever let anybody turn you away from Utah and the Mormons or whatever. I can't even tell you. I'm almost speechless just thinking about it, because it's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do a lot of hiking and stuff, and every time I see incredible views, it's a very, reflective moment. Mm. And it's like, you just look out and you're like, I can't believe this. It's just so beautiful. There's so much to this planet. And then you start thinking about all the mundane issues and problems you think about, and but you look out and it's like, but how am I so clouded with all this little stuff when there's this whole world out here? It's hard to put into words those feelings, but I'm trying.
Right. So I was going to ask you, I mean, I think you were trying to explain it, but it's almost like when you get up there, all of this little stuff just kind of seems to melt away. Yeah. And it's almost like, I don't know, you stand up there and you're just like, I have nothing to really be upset about.
No.
I'm alive, and there's all this little stuff that annoys me every day. And I can't justify being mad at this stuff anymore when I'm in such beauty. So let me ask you, you're from, are you up in the Adirondack region? Where
yes,
exactly?
Yeah. I'm so I'm in Hadley, right outside of Lake George. And so, the Adirondacks start, I think, right as you're leaving Corinth. But the high peaks and stuff are another hour away from me. So it's not very far at all for the high peaks, but, we do have some really beautiful mountains, even just starting at the southern end of the Adirondacks. But I have
my sister and her husband are doing the High Peaks. I don't know, the 46 High Peaks.
Yeah, I want to do them.
And I've kind of used up all of my outdoorsy stuff in the Syracuse area. So I'm looking for some other places. Maybe I'll have to catch up with you on some good spots to go around there.
Oh yeah, we definitely want to do it. We want to take Rothbard. We just couldn't do it this summer because he was still little, but I think he'll be able to by come up this hiking season coming up. Driving through there is beautiful. Going through Keene Valley, and I am always like in awe at all the mountains, and I just look at them and I say, I just want to climb all of these. I just want to go over all these mountains. But it is really incredible. The power of nature, just being out in nature and being in that natural habitat is, it's extremely rewarding and, like cleansing, I would say, 'cause I know every time I go for a hike, I feel like I'm a better person for like a week after. I don't know if that makes sense.
Probably the fresh air.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
And I'm glad you say that because, you know, like I said, I'd never done a lot of traveling. I pretty much stayed in, you know, not my little bubble, but, you know, in my little northeast section of the country. And I definitely think that traveling is something, you know, a really important and often overlooked, maybe not hobby, but just traveling is so good for your soul. And, you know, it really, you know, it takes you out of your, like we were saying before, everybody's kind of in this, tough mindset in 2018, and maybe they're feeling stuck, but I feel like traveling just really brings you out of that. It gives you a whole new sense of appreciation. And once you go back to, you know, your mundane day to day, it's a little bit easier to deal with. And mm-hmm. So I think more people should, you know, take the opportunities to do weekend trips or weekend hikes and spend some time outdoors and unplug, you know, disconnect, you know, just get some fresh air. I think just being around nature and like getting the vibrations of, you know, nature and trees and the wind, it's so good for you. It's so healthy.
It is. I love it. I encourage it so much. In the summer, I'm always trying to do something every weekend, and get out, go hiking or go traveling or something. Next weekend, we're going to New York City. Noah wants to see the Statue of Liberty. So,
oh, right on. I was just in New York City last weekend, as a matter of fact.
I heard it's going to be like 42, 44 degrees, so it shouldn't be too bad.
It doesn't get as cold down there as it does up here. Like, it was snowing here, and when I got down there, there wasn't a single snowflake on the ground. So it's the weather there is a little bit different in a strange way because they're surrounded by water. But
did you have a question, Rick?
No.
Oh, I thought you had. Sorry.
Not yet.
I'm still trying to think of this question. It's on the tip of my tongue. So if there was like the most important advice to give somebody that like you, something that you could just like shout all the time, what would it be?
You know, I was trying to sort of delve into this a little earlier, but I really think it's just that if you want to try to make the world better, you have to work on yourself. So as an example, a few years ago, right after the election, I was talking to one of my friends who's, he's not on my side. I'll say that much. And, he was like, getting on my case because I didn't vote for like one of the two major parties, and like, oh, all of the stuff that's going to go wrong is your fault and you don't care about people, you know, just right. Kind of the, you know, the standard, you know, left wing responses, I suppose. And, I don't want to like call this person out per se, but like it's the kind of person that's like not happy with themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like you cast aspersions at me for not caring about for not caring about people. And you, like, you know, talk about how you, like, care so much about everybody, but, like, you don't even take care of yourself, you know, and, right. and everybody can tell that you're unhappy and you're angry at everybody. And so that's my thing. It's like, you know, before you go out and criticize everybody and criticize the world and cast aspersions to everybody, you need to look at yourself. And the only reason that I know this to be the case is because I have been there and I've done this and I've gone through this. You know, I used to be so miserable and I was so depressed and I hated myself. I was always angry at myself and everything that was wrong in my life was, you know, because God hated me or the universe hated me or somebody did something to, you know, destroy my life. And once I turned it all around, you know, everything started to change. And so that I really think that that's the single most important thing that I could say, is that if you want to try and, you know, make some positive change, you have to look within yourself first. That is the only place that it can start. It's always got to start from within.
You know, one of the see how I put things into perspective, which is different than Shan, and we have our discussions on that. I put it in religious perspective. Like if I climbed the mountain like you did and looked out over the desert in Utah and saw miles and miles, and then I went to New Mexico and saw the painted desert, you know, I would say, look at what God created. I mean, so diverse that it's amazing. But when you were saying about your friend, there's a saying that most conservatives use that against the left. I mean, and that's where I hear it the most. But it applies in other life experiences too. The people that preach tolerance are the most intolerant people. That you preach tolerance, but yet when it comes to what you do, you're very intolerant
of other ideas.
Of other ideas,
I run into that all the time. I'll like say something, and people disagree with it, and I'm like, okay, but if this was something you cared about, why aren't you open to other ideas? They're like, like I say it with healthcare all the time, that getting government involved is not the answer. It makes it more expensive. And these people are like, healthcare should be free for all. I'm like, but that doesn't make it free for everybody. It's never going to be free. It's a service that's provided to you. You have to pay for it. Somebody does. And I'm like, and so if you really cared about reforming healthcare, you would be open to all different kinds of ideas and not just saying that the only answer is to get the government involved in it. So I find that a lot, that people just aren't open to the things that they say they really care about. It seems to be a struggle that I face all the time. I was wondering, had a question here. Did like this libertarian mindset come before or after you, like started working on yourself?
Oh, well before. Okay. See, I was one of those people that kind of went back and forth, and I don't know. I suppose I was always into the flavor of the day. You know, when let's see, I was in the seventh grade in 2011 when 9/11 happened, and you know, I didn't know what I was talking about back then. I was just a absorbent mind, so I was just like, yeah, you know, kill the terrorists, whatever, and. You know, so I was in the, you know, the George Bush camp. And then after 8 years, I was in college, you know, right around the time where I was, you know, I was in a state school and I was surrounded by, you know, all these like left thinkers. And so I was just like, oh, I'm sick of all this. Like, yeah, Obama. And but then after that is when I really, really started to, you know, think for myself. And I started watching Ron Paul in the debates. And, you know, it was totally different than everything that I had heard up to that point. And I was like, something's different about this. Like mm-hmm. this is making too much sense. And so I really started reading into Ron Paul and libertarianism, and that's really when it all started for me. So it was probably about a decade ago.
That's awesome. Yeah, Ron Paul seems to be like a big converter for a lot of people, because you start hearing what he has to say, and like you said, it makes sense. And you start thinking, well, why did I never put two and two together? And then you start actually researching things and, like you said, thinking for yourself. And you just, your eyes are opened. And I mean, today the term is woke. You get woke. But it's definitely, you start seeing a different side of things, and you start seeing like how sugar-coated things are for people, and just how like untruthful it is. And going back to what we were talking about earlier, that like victim mentality thing, I feel like a lot of the problem with society and our politics and everything is that people are in this victim mentality, and that's what the left is all about, is and they don't understand like what we've been talking about. Bettering themselves is going to better their situations, and the only reason why we're having like this like socialist I don't want to say revolution, but like what's the word for it, like this rise of socialism is just coming out of this victim mentality, that we're like, the government is like teaching us to think like this, that we are all oppressed. They want different races to feel oppressed. They want women to feel like we're oppressed. And it's just, it's really not the case, I don't feel like. And keeping the population in a victim mentality makes them feel like they need someone to help them. And of course, they're going to be like, oh, we can help you. And so then they get you to love your government. And that's how they keep being able to manipulate you. But if you really just figure out that life is what you make it, really, you can change your life yourself. And you really just start becoming that individual and getting into that individual mindset, then you really start to be able to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, once you become dependent, you know, it's really hard to become it's really hard to become independent. Mm-hmm. And you know, I suppose you can compare it to you know, trying to get in shape. You know, it's really hard to you know, go to day one at the gym, and you know, you're going to struggle for a little bit, and you know, you'll get tired and you'll get burnt out. But once you're in it, you know, it's really empowering, you know, and to see, you know, what you can do for yourself and with yourself on your own goodwill. I mean, there's nothing like it. And so I think, I don't know. I don't really know what the solution is there. I wanted to ask you this question, 'cause this is something that I kind of struggle with on, you know, I'm very much into like the libertarian thing, but not many of my friends are, and I have a hard time like discussing it with them, and I don't know why people get like so turned off by the libertarian thing. Do you think that like it's like a harsh message? Do you think people are, it's just like misunderstood, or I don't know what it is. I find a lot of people are really turned off by it, but to me, it's like the most morally sound philosophy that I've ever come across, and it's extraordinarily empowering. I mean, I don't see what's so bad about it, you know?
Yeah, I do find that a lot of people are turned off by the libertarian idea, which doesn't make sense to me either. Because like you said, it's very morally sound. I mean, we're based on what seems to be simple and moral principles. I mean, we don't hurt people. We don't steal their things. We want everyone to be free, have their rights. And I think maybe people are turned off by it because it's so like radical, But it's been like given that light that it's radical, but it's really not. Because I'm not sure why people have such a hard time accepting it.
I have an idea.
Okay.
It's just like in, I live in Saratoga. We've had a form of government in Saratoga called the commission form, which has been going out of, it started back in the early 1900s, and for 5 years, a lot of cities adopted it. 10 years after that, it started falling out of favor. Well, Saratoga is one of 10 cities in the country that uses form of government, and it's not very good, but people are used to it. And we've tried to change it 3 times, and we came close last year. It lost by 10 votes with over 9,000 ballots casted. And I think it's the same thing as libertarianism. People are afraid of what they don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think many people take the time to look into things. So therefore, the only other thing that they have is fear. A fear of change. And I really think that's the truth, because before Shan came on the station here, I had no clue what libertarian was. I mean, I knew we needed a third party. I think Democrat and Republicans need more competition because they're basically the same. But, I mean, she's given me some things to think about, and I think people need to be educated. And how you do that, I don't know. But people are afraid of making change, so they fall back on what they know. And a lot of times, I saw a TV show this week, and they had two liberal black people on one side. It was a debate. And three black conservatives. Oh, I know. I was watching a Ben Shapiro podcast. And one of the liberal was saying how bad that the blacks have it in the United States. And one of the conservative blacks said, look at, you have to apply yourself. Look at Thomas Sowell, any name, maybe 8 or 9 popular blacks, but the thing they had in common was they made it themselves. They didn't rely on government. And he said, you know, since the civil rights movement in the 60s, the Democrats have poured billions of dollars into helping black families and keeping them under their control.
Mm-hmm.
So what have blacks gained in all that time? You keep throwing money onto programs to keep them subjected to you.
Right, and in that victim mentality. Like,
right, and they feel they don't have to get ahead because somebody will take care of them. And when you feel like you can get ahead because of your own initiative, you get people like Clarence Thomas, Thomas Sowell. They had a few black business people that made big businesses because they took the initiative and did it themselves. But yet you apply that to politics, and libertarian is probably the most closest to that philosophy, and people are afraid of it.
Right. I think libertarianism has been like given, I think people are afraid of it because, like, you start talking about taxes, and, well, how are we, I mean, something they throw at us all the time is the roads. You hear that all the time, but what about the roads? But that's not like the main thing that we should be like advertising, I guess. We need to like make it simple, easy for people to understand and digest, because that's just the time that we're in right now. They I mean who is it that says we don't hurt people and we don't take their stuff? Jason Stapleton. But I think he gets it from somebody else, I believe he said. Do you listen to Jason Stapleton?
I think so. Is he the guy with the big beard?
No.
Oh, then maybe not.
that was Moses, the guy with the big beard.
I'm pretty sure Jason Stapleton was on the Joe Rogan podcast. I thought he was like a bigger guy, maybe with a big long beard, but I guess I could be wrong.
No. You should listen to his podcast, though. But he always said...
Oh, I'm thinking of the country singer. Wrong guy. Wrong Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton.
Yep, that's what I was thinking of. Yep.
No, he's not a country singer. But he always says... like he applies the libertarian philosophy to things, and he's like, well, are we hurting somebody or are we taking their stuff? I mean, those, if you boil it down to something super simple for people to use to analyze situations, that might make it a better message and more accepting for people. But I think a lot of libertarians are just so, we get it. We just get it. And we don't understand why people aren't getting it and why they just, yeah, they don't, I mean, see things for what they really are.
Like, it was really like, oh, maybe I don't know if I had like a light bulb moment. It's kind of been like a decade of reading and educating myself and taking the time to really understand the concepts. And I'm also constantly questioning myself. I try not to accept anything as like, you know, absolute, you know, I try not to look at things in absolutes. So even, you know, I'm always questioning even my own beliefs to, you know, and by doing that, it reaffirms, you know, it strengthens the things that I think to be true anyways. But just to go back to what Rick was saying earlier, I also think it has a lot to do with intolerance, because I think that libertarianism requires a lot more tolerance than most people are willing to give.
Yeah, and, definitely.
And it's really hard to get around that. And so one thing that I've tried to do, even though I don't really understand completely and totally why people are so turned off by this, I've tried to take more of an approach of separating it from politics and not using it, you know, politically motivated, and trying to apply it more philosophically and more of as a way of life, because, you know, I don't really like to use the word libertarian, because it kind of gives people an opinion before you can finish saying what you're trying to say. And to me, it's more of just a way of living and, you know, a philosophy and not just a political party. And so I think that deep down, most people really appreciate libertarian principles. Mm-hmm. And I think that most people would be a quote unquote libertarian if they really understood the core message. And so I guess that's kind of what the approach that I've taken with Find Yours is, you know, the philosophical approach, because one of the main tenets of libertarianism is, you know, all about the individual and, you know, appreciating the power of the individual. And I never mentioned the word libertarian. I don't talk about politics other than my article on why gold is money, which I don't even really know why I wrote that, but
I did see that on there.
I try not to talk about it from a political standpoint, and it really resonates with people. And I don't know, I feel like if I had said, well, you know, all of these things that I'm talking about are, you know, rooted in libertarianism, I don't know if it would turn them off, or I don't know if it would make them more open or accepting to libertarian ideas.
Right. It definitely is a way of life. I agree with that completely. And I think, like you said, just have those core values. If we can just get, like, because most people, if you think about it, like you said, are libertarian. They just don't know it because they don't associate these core values with the Libertarian Party. Mm. So if we were to just get everybody on the same page of basic morals and then apply that to, like, once we get that philosophy rooted, then start to apply that to like politics and stuff, it might make more sense. But going from politics to philosophy, I think, is where the disconnect is.
Right. Yeah, and you again, you know, I really think that most people are in agreement basically on moral principle, but where things get muddled up is everybody's so attached to their ideology. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people aren't willing to separate themselves from their quote unquote team. And that's where I think things get really dangerous is, you know, ideology is really, I think, the enemy of philosophy, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, too, is more so in younger people, I'd say up till they're probably 30, 35, really don't stop to think about when you put this with politics. That's why I like the two of you agreeing that it's a philosophy that should be learned. Because if you ask 10 people under the age, let's say 30, why they're either a Democrat or a Republican, they'll probably say, because my parents were a Democrat or Republican, mm-hmm. or my parents and grandparents were Democrat or Republican. So they don't stop to think about what it means to be a Democrat or Republican. It's just a way of life with them because they were brought up like that. So trying to put the philosophy in rather than making it political, I think is a better start,
yeah.
like you say, to get them thinking and then make it associated with politics after they learn all of the mm-hmm. what it means, the philosophy means.
Most definitely. Because if you get them already thinking in that way of life, then they'll start looking at situations and issues with that mindset and be able to analyze it better. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Jason Stapleton takes things and he's like, okay, are we hurting people here? Who are we hurting? Who's hurting them? And are we taking their stuff? Who's taking their stuff? Why are we taking their stuff? Where is their stuff going? What are we using it for? And just like those two things right there are just so, they're so simple. Are we hurting people? Are we taking their stuff? They're just so simple to apply to every situation. And if one of those things is happening, then it's wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. And so just, I think that's a very, very strong message to get people to think about. Like, not even you have to be a libertarian, just like, are we hurting someone? Are we taking their stuff? I don't care what your political party is, but just think this way, please. Like, we don't want to do this.
Well, I think that's one half of it. And then the other half, of course, is trying to get people to understand, you know, these complex issues, economics and,
yes,
you know, yeah. why, you know, why this healthcare system doesn't work and how it relates to the economy and yada, yada, yada.
That's
and,
the difficult
You know,
part.
Most of that stuff is not terribly easy to understand. And so, you know, it's interesting, like when I try to explain things from like a purely economic and like theoretical standpoint, a lot of people, like, they take it as like a threat to them personally.
They do.
And I don't really understand it. It's really hard for me to navigate around that because, you know, I have the same moral principles as just about all my friends. You know, I mm-hmm. care about people. I'm compassionate. You know, I want what's best for everybody. It's just that I understand the unintended consequences of these programs. And because I've taken the time to, you know, read economics books and whatnot. And it's a really, really, I don't know. It's a hard course to try to navigate because people take it so personally. And again, they're just so attached to their ideology. And they think if I'm like against this program, it's because like, I don't, you know,
you don't
because
care.
I don't care. And so, you know, I think that that's the other half that's probably a little more complicated to solve.
And right away you're branded. And
right,
the
right.
more people you can educate, then the less that brand is a negative and it's a positive. I mean, look at when the pilgrims came over. They fled England because of religious persecution and not being able to be an individual. And what did they do in the first thing they came here? They persecuted other religions. they had to have everybody do what they believed was right. And you know, I think that's a natural tendency, and I think that has to be broken. And I think maybe someone should write a book, a Cliff Note book, on not what is libertarian, but what is individualism in a group setting, so that you can teach that philosophy and then hook it up with a political outlook on how can we better the economy, how can we make people more dependent upon themselves.
Definitely. I also feel like a huge issue that we have, especially in 2018, almost 2019 now, is just lack of education. And where everyone's in this instant gratification world, because, I mean, we got the world in our pocket on a screen. We just have this, and that only helps education, but yeah, we're not all educated. Just people aren't taking time to read, research. We've lost that interest. We just want headlines. We want something easy to digest. And so, I mean, a lot of that has to come from schooling too. They're teaching for tests and everything like that. They're not really letting you think and philosophize and just come up with your own thinking or individual thoughts of these. They have to be like molded for the course and for the test that's coming up. And we're losing that individualism in schools, and then it comes out when you're older that you want all this instant gratification. You don't want to go research and read things. And that's a huge problem that we have right now.
Yeah, there's definitely a severe lack of free thinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you were just saying it's so important to have that, because the more free you're able to think, the more you're able to express your individualism. And, you know, I don't know. I just see a world where, like, everybody is appreciated for their uniqueness, you know, and everybody has something unique to offer. And I really think if we started to approach things from that angle, appreciating that everybody has, you know, a unique value, that, you know, we would have such like a rich and, you know, inspiring society. But everything has just been so, it's just been so dulled down and mundane, and it's just really a shame. And I'm trying to do my part to spread the message. I hope that people are getting it. Maybe some people aren't getting the message, but I just really think that the best thing that we all can do is, you know, keep working on yourself. Just try to be good, try to be better. And I have really come a long way in the last year of trying to separate myself from, you know, the Facebook conversations and the fighting and the infighting and just the bickering back and forth. And, you know, participating in that stuff used to drive me nuts, and it would put me in a bad mood. And so I've just tried to separate myself from it. I don't watch the news. I don't participate in the election cycle nonsense. I just read my books. I try to educate myself, and I try to work on being a better human being. And ever since I've done that, my life has gotten so much better. I mean, in every respect.
I agree there too. I had like a finding myself phase a few years ago, and just my whole life changed after that. And I took more control of my life, and it's was very powerful, and it was inspiring to those around me. And going into the new year, everyone has these resolutions, and nobody seems to really follow through with them. But I think like the best thing you can do, just starting, it's easier to start off the new year with a positive mindset, but you gotta like push through that. Like you said, at the gym, it's easy. You get there and it's hard, but once you keep going, it gets easier. So
Yeah, once you see the results, I mean, it's hard to stop. Well, I guess it's easy to stop, but it inspires you to want to keep going. So let me ask you guys, what sort of things are you looking forward to in the new year? Do you have any plans or goals that you want to achieve?
So I think I'm going to have the same goals I had last year because they're really good. I want to have a healthy, positive year filled with love, and that was my goal last year, and I want to keep that my goal this year because it worked well for me. So I want it to be healthy, good, lots of love. It's really all I want. And cheesecake.
Cheesecake. And mine is, because I'm so old, I want to make it another year. No,
That should be everybody's goal.
Exactly. No, I think everybody should strive to go to another level in being tolerant and helping other people see what they can make of themselves, and just being a good human being is probably the hardest thing for people to do, and hopefully I can be a better human being.
Definitely.
Yeah. And those all sound. I want to issue you guys a challenge, if I might.
Sure.
For 2019, because for this year I have sort of I have a main goal, which is sort of broad, and then I have 8 much more specific goals that I'm going to try to follow. So what you should do is try to come up with a list of really specific goals, because if you have it really helps you hone in on your focus. So if you have a list of, they can be short-term or long-term goals, maybe I want to, I want to learn how to knit, or like I want to lose 10 pounds or something like that. It really gives you something like concrete to aim for, and something that you can measure, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I think that people should do in 2019 is come up with, specifics, give yourself, a specific target, make sure it's something that you can measure. And I promise you, if you stick to it, you'll have incredible results.
Yeah, I'll do that. And I've tried that before and tried to be more of an individual, and my wife hit me over the head with a frying pan, so that idea went out of my head. But I know what you mean. You have to set goals and keep them. As Shan said before, you always go into the new year with a positive feeling, and then after about 3 days, you're back into your regular routine.
Well, I think a lot of people, they start off the new year like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym more. Which is a good goal, but I mean, what is more? You say I'm going to go to the gym more. It would probably be better if you said, my goal for this year is to lose 10 pounds or lose 15 pounds. You see how it's more of a measurement and less of like, because, more could be, I mean, one day a week, but I'm not saying that one day a week isn't better than zero, but I just feel like when people have these like generalized goals for the new year, they're a little harder to reach, and it kind of like limits yourself. So if you have something like really concrete and specific, it tends to keep you a little bit more inspired and focused.
And they have to be realistic goals too.
Yes.
I know my doctor told me I'd like you to lose, the ideal thing would be to lose 20 pounds, but he said to start out, that's an unrealistic goal for you. So plan on losing 6 pounds. And then you'll be so happy that you lost 6 that you'll go for the next 6. Mm-hmm. But he said if you start out at the 20 and you don't get there as fast as you think you should, you're going to stop.
Yeah, it has to be like incremental.
Right, realistic goals.
Like you have overall goal, but then you need those measurable, incremental
exactly.
goals. Exactly.
Just
on the
like
way
Tom
there.
Said, you have to make sure you can meet the goals you set. So why make them so far out, really, when you know you're not going to get there? And measured goals, I think, are realistic.
Right. So, Tom, coming up on the end here, what is your, like, what's one main goal that you have for 2019?
I'm trying to move back to Brooklyn. I used to live in New York City. I lived in Brooklyn for 2.5 years, and I moved back to Syracuse in right at the beginning of 2014. So it's been 4 years now. And after doing all of this traveling, and I mean, I can't even tell you how much I learned over the last 6 months traveling around and, you know, really getting a hold of myself. And I finally dialed into the fact that that's where I want to be. All my friends are there, like all my college friends, my musician friends, like everybody that I want to be, you know, surrounded by is there. And I just know that's the place where I'm, you know, really going to, you know, reach the level of success that I want to reach. And so that's where all of my focus has gone for the last month. I've kind of put the blog aside on the back burner for now while I try to get a job in New York and, you know, make something happen for myself there. So that is goal number one right now. And after that, you know, I'll start chipping away at the other things.
Awesome. Well, I think I'm going to wrap it up here. But it's been awesome talking with you. I really do like what you're doing. Definitely don't stop. So I thank you for coming on. And if you want to come on any other time, just ask.
Yeah, definitely. No, I really appreciate it. It's been cool talking to you guys. And, you know, maybe we can do this again some other time. I'd love to keep the chats going. You know, I obviously love liberty and, you know, the whole libertarian thing. So I think it's great what you're doing.
Yeah, we'll have to, like, get your input on some of our topics here. So you have your blog, Find Yours, and you also have Instagram. So anybody listening, go follow his Instagram if you're interested. And do you have what other platforms do you have?
Right now, I focus mainly just on the website and Instagram. So the website you can find at www.findyourslife.com, all one word. And then on Instagram, I am at findyours_life. And, you know, there's some articles on the website about, you know, how I, you know, came out of my bad state, and some inspiring things there, music suggestions, book suggestions. And then on Instagram, it's just, you know, my amateur photography, which is something that I'm pretty passionate about and I've been working on a lot, with just, I don't know, some positive, inspiring captions. And I'm pretty active on Instagram with the stories. So if you really want to see things on a daily basis, I would suggest you go there.
Awesome.
And I'm sure you'll post that on your podcast page.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Yeah, so you've been my first guest, call-in guest.
Oh, right on, yeah.
So that's exciting. Now we know how to, I know how to do this. Excuse my terrible interviewing skills. I haven't done this before either.
You're great. You're doing a great job.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming on. And I'm looking forward to more great conversations.
Awesome. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. And so I'm peacing it out, guys. We'll see you in 2019.